He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council back there, executive producing. You're listening to Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Happy Friday, Nashville. We were all super excited last night. Braden and I were super stoked for the NBA draft, the NHL draft tonight. We're going to get into that a little bit as the show goes on and kind of give you some of what some of the experts think could happen there tonight. But as we start, you know, we came in this morning and there was a little bit of angst for all of us, not necessarily for each other, but mostly for Windy City Intern because
– Yeah, I was concerned.
I mean, you get the name Windy City Intern because of love of Chicago. So Windy City Intern, we decided she should have her opportunity as we come out of the gates because, as you heard in the update last night, there was a trade involving Jimmy Butler. A rumor we had heard coming into the night was that Jimmy Butler, star player for the Bulls.
Who's one of the 15 best players in the world.
And by metrics,
let's say.
By advanced metrics in the NBA, top eight player. So
there you go.
ESPN Stats and Research actually has him
as
the third best player in essentially added wins to your team. So okay. Third best player in the NBA.
War.
Right. So sweet. the seventh in point differential to what he means, his plus minus for hockey fans, seventh in the entire NBA. So you look at the advanced metrics, you're talking about a top eight player in the NBA. There's been a lot of speculation he might go to Cleveland, a lot of speculation they would deal him for a star player, and instead the Timberwolves dealt him for like season tickets to Ringling Brothers, four packs of peanuts, and a draft pick nobody's ever heard of. So we wanted to give Windy City Intern, also Carolyn, for those of you that want to know. She does
dunk,
have
a dunk
name.
Contest. They got a dunk contest champion, right?
Did they? Yes,
I think so.
Yeah, you're right.
So.
Wow.
They get to hang that banner.
This is your opportunity, and we're concerned for you. How are you feeling this morning as a Chicago fan?
Well, I'm wearing black, so I'm in mourning right now.
Yeah. I mean, were you shocked? Did you kind of expect he was to be traded?
I expected a trade of some sort. I didn't expect it to be this bad of a trade. I also don't know what the front office of the Bulls are doing, so...
And that's a fair.
Well, what's your in depth analysis of Lauri Markkanen, the big man from Arizona and Finland?
Yeah, I've watched a ton of Arizona basketball this year, so I could give you a shockingly, surprisingly good in depth analysis. That's not true.
Yeah,
no. I haven't watched any Arizona basketball.
But you know what? I love that.
They're a good team.
I think, but that's an honest moment that most NBA fans need to have this morning. And it's part of the interesting, it's like almost laughable.
The NHL draft. I mean, tonight you're going to see 30 names go off the board and we're all going to go, huh? Okay, sounds good. Let's see what happens in a couple of years.
Well,
that's different in the NBA, where the guys come in and can play right away.
And everybody's going to obviously overreact to this trade because a star player is gone. I don't know. I'm not even going to say overreact, Windy City Intern. I'm just going to say react. I think that's the hard part of it, right? You're losing one of the guys you could look at and say Chicago might be able to get some free agents. They might be able to compete. Now that love is gone, right? Or that ability is gone.
Yeah, I would be okay with the trade if I knew that the Bulls were all in on tanking and trying to rebuild. But I don't trust this front office to do that because they've been in this weird situation where they're trying to rebuild but also make the playoffs. And then we end up with the 16th pick and a if I could talk this morning.
That's okay. It's early.
They're essentially stuck in basketball purgatory. So I don't really know what this franchise is doing.
That was really legitimately good analysis. Yeah. And I am more interested in your psychological state.
You can tell the psychological state.
Like what you're going to do this weekend to combat all of the emotions that are running, like that are coursing through your mind right now. That's really more what does a Chicago fan do this weekend?
I'm probably going to drink a lot.
going to
work so I can just forget about it and then, you know, just drink when I'm not working.
So here's
work
the
and drink.
Here's the actual trade last night because this was a mega trade in the NBA. The Bulls. They send three-time All-Star Jimmy Butler, again, we just told you, by advanced metrics, top eight player in the NBA. He goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves in the process, and they also send a 16th overall pick. So the Wolves receive Jimmy Butler and the 16th overall pick, which they use to select Justin Patton for all of you big Creighton fans out there. And the Bulls, meanwhile, acquired Chris Dunn, Zach Don't Call Me Andy Levine, And then the number 7 overall pick in the draft, which they used for...
Don't call me Adam Levine.
Adam, dang it. I'm...
Wow.
I was so close. I was so close.
Swing and a miss.
I was so close. Wow. What did I say? Andy? Dang. And then Markkanen. I was so close. And then Markkanen, who again, 7-foot center, or 7-foot player from Arizona.
He's a really good player. You know, he's a guy who can shoot the ball. Arizona was a really top-level team in line for, you know, one of the best teams in the country most of the year, but he's not like a grinded out post player. Like, he's not a true 7-footer. He's one of those stretch fours that everybody, all the coaches like to talk about. So there's some upside there. He's a nice player. He's going to play in the league for a while. It's just, if you told me I could trade Jimmy Butler for any one of these players in the draft, I would probably stop at Jason Tatum.
Right.
And I would say, these are the three guys. If you gave me one of these three guys as the centerpiece to a trade for Jimmy Butler, you know, if it's Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, or Jason Tatum, maybe De'Aaron Fox, of those four guys, that maybe Josh Jackson, maybe. Those would be the only names I would say, all right, that's a centerpiece deal for Jimmy Butler. And then what else are you going to give me?
I think centerpiece is the big point here, because I think why we felt bad for Windy City intern this morning is that Chicago was trying to sort of at least – they were trying to figure out what to do. Do you go all in and try and remain relevant enough that you can lure some of the big free agents coming next year? We've talked to a couple of big experts in the last few days that keep reminding us next year's free agency class, pretty stellar. So do you do that? Or do you sort of rip it apart? This was an obvious indication they decided to rip it apart. But in the process of ripping it apart, to not be able to get a big-name player in return, you just, if you're Chicago, you just lost a lot of your sales pitch on why people, why other free agents would want to come play there. I think that's the disheartening thing for Bulls fans.
Oh, but we got hometown boy Dwayne Wade on our team, so you know.
Only $24 million.
Yeah, it's great. But the thing is, like, there are rumors that the Bulls are going to re-sign Nikolai Mirotic, who is essentially the same player, who had one good month of shooting threes. And that's what he brings to the table.
This is what I don't get about the Bulls. And Fitz, you're being, I think, a little too nice to him. Butler's under contract for 3 more years, and it's not overly aggressive. It's like $18 million for like 3 years, which seems like a lot of money. But as in the NBA max contract world, it's not. And I don't think you were forced into doing anything right now. That's
right.
My issue. I don't think you were a team that was close to making the playoffs. If you add a couple of veteran pieces, maybe you can get to that 6th seed. Now, this is the problem we have with the NBA as a whole right now, is that when you are in the middle, you are nowhere, even if you're in the playoffs, because you're either one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the league, or you're tanking for the number 1 pick. Everybody else is sort of suffering through this middle ground that doesn't work anymore in a league that's constructed the way it is. And that's our problem with the NBA, is that there's really nowhere to elevate and move in the hierarchy in a quick way. You either have a transcendent player, which maybe the Bulls had in Jimmy Butler, or you don't, and then you add 2 pieces to it, and then you're good, or you don't. Like, there's no middle ground anymore. And that's the difference between the NFL, where the middle class rises and falls every single day. I mean, that's the difference in the NFL.
Yeah, it really does feel like you walked into a restaurant with a fabulous filet and this, like, amazing meal, and the guy across from you is like, yeah, but I got a bag of sour apple Skittles. What do you think? And you took the trade. I mean, this is I can't say this enough, and smarter minds in basketball around ESPN have already in the last 24 hours deemed it one of the worst trades in NBA history.
I want to watch Minnesota now.
So yeah,
sorry, Chicago intern.
I mean, Minnesota did the right thing. Minnesota got better quickly.
They got interesting pieces. I'm not saying they're going to be any good, but they're fun to watch.
They're still not going to the playoffs, so
which is still insane. Should they not go to the playoffs, though, with their roster now? I mean,
they have 3 players and no bench and no 3-point shooting.
Yeah, I mean, but
so that constitutes a playoff team.
So Cleveland.
But, well, in this sense...
A little different situation there, Braden.
To Julian's point, they may only have 3 guys, but that 3... I look at, like, I've always said it takes your big 3 to win a championship ever since the Bulls era. You always have to have, like, those 3 big names. I think now it takes the big 3 to lure enough people in there to create a team. And so that's what I think Minnesota can sort of do. Minnesota can sort of look at it now and say, hey, we've got some opportunity here for the sales pitch. We'll keep getting it. I need to hear Julian Council's reaction, because part of what we just talked to Windy City intern about applies in her honesty and what she hasn't watched. I think that you've got the other side. You've got fans that didn't watch at all that are now lying to themselves because of a brand that was drafted last night. That happened in the NBA. We'll get into the NHL expansion draft in just a minute, but there's one particular fan base overreacting because they got a star that might not be a star player. We'll talk about that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. 102.5 The Game is teamed up with Dunkin' Donuts, my favorite, to give you a chance to win a pair of four-day passes to the Nashville Golf Open at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club Thursday, June 29th through Sunday, July 2nd. Today's the last day to sign up. Registration ends at 10 a.m. So now, or as soon as you're in a safe spot and not driving, visit thegamenashville.com for more details and participating locations. You want to get out there. You want to have fun. So this is an important message about tonight's NHL draft. And it's funny, we've been sort of running the parallels all week between the NBA and the NHL, and I think this is a real strength in that comparison for everybody to remember tonight. Because for the first time in a long time, the Preds don't pick they pick very low. First time ever, they pick 30th. So they're picking 30th in tonight's draft. And you'll read a lot of mocks, and you'll see a lot of reaction. And what everybody wants to do is they want to pile on to whatever that reaction is. So let's be honest. Let's have an honest moment here. Preds are likely to pick somebody most people have never heard of. And then as the reaction starts, you'll see one or two negative reactions. Everybody will be negative. You'll see one or two reactions. Everybody will be positive.
Unless it's Urho Vakananenian.
Exactly.
That guy is a steal at 30.
And we saw this last night in a really, really big way, because I'll go back to Julian Council, one of the guys that we know here that sort of absorbs more college basketball than most people ever will. So I text him last night after the big draft pick, okay, because obviously he was a little curious about what was going to happen and how it was going to go for Charlotte. And Charlotte picks 11th overall, and he's a Hornets fan, and they pick Malik Monk. And the Twitter world was blowing up with, oh, my God, this is amazing. I can't believe we got Malik Monk. Malik Monk's the man. He's going to make everything happen. Malik Monk's going to be an all-star, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Yep, Uptown Monk going to funk you up.
And man. So,
but let's have an honest—
Julian's SEC commentary, tournament commentary on Malik Monk.
But let's have an honest moment.
It was awful.
How many people reacted not to Malik Monk, the player, but to Malik Monk, he was on every single NCAA tournament ad. He was on every TV moment. They talked about him on the broadcast. So if you didn't watch 3 minutes of college basketball all season, but then you watched the tournament, you feel like you got a big star because you got a big star, not because you got a great player. And he may turn out to be a great player. We don't know. Mm. But ultimately, what we do know right now, can we all agree that the reason that fan base is blowing up for Malik Monk is not because of his skills, it's because of his superstardom as a marketed star?
Part of that, and partially because every year the Hornets think they're going to get a good player in the draft, and they draft a terrible player. They draft a Frank Kaminsky instead of getting a Devin Booker. They draft Michael Kidd-Gilchrist instead of missing out on Anthony Davis because they lost the lottery, or instead of getting Bradley Beal. They always get a bad player. So for once, people think that the chips fell in their direction and they got a good player, Malik Monk.
But
and all Malik Monk is a bench player who's going to average between 10 and 12 points per game in this league, which isn't terrible.
Couple assists.
Yeah.
Couple boards.
His ceiling is J.R. Smith. I had someone come at me and say last night, no, he could be Jamal Crawford. I was like, have you looked at Jamal Crawford's career stat line?
See, and I don't like
J.R.
Smith.
They have not.
I don't like J.R. Smith, but I think J.R. Smith is a much better shooter than Malik Monk.
Well, yes, he is much better. I'm just saying that's his ceiling. I never said he was going to.
Let me ask you this, because 11, the Hornets took Malik Monk. 2, Luke Kennard, who you are a big fan of. And 3, Donovan Mitchell goes 13, back-to-back-to-back picks. These guys are all like sort of the same player, except for the other two are better than Malik Monk. Like, would you agree with that? Would you rather? I mean, you're a big Luke Kennard.
You would have rather had Luke Kennard.
Yes, I wanted Luke Kennard. I was praying that someone take Malik Monk so the Hornets wouldn't have this situation where they're going to be like, you know what? We are forced to take Malik Monk because everyone's going to freak out if we don't do this.
Donovan Mitchell, better than Malik Monk, probably.
I didn't really want him.
A little bit. I mean, he's a little bit
bigger.
Yeah, he's a little
bigger,
bit bigger.
A better two-way player, sure. But
can rebound a little bit. Right. But I think Luke Kennard was – I mean, all three – the point is all three of those guys at 11, 12, and 13 are all – sort of in that two guard situation. Donovan Mitchell is a little bit different.
The thing
player,
is, people think that Malik Monk at 6'3" is going to come in and become like the starting two guard for the Hornets, which is not possible. He is frail as all get out. I mean, he is skin and bones. I sat there for 3 days and watched the SEC tournament, struggled shooting the ball, and also just seeing how skinny he was being wowed by De'Aaron Fox. I don't see it. I know Avery Bradley is 6'2", and he's a great defender for the Boston Celtics and a great scorer. But that's just not the norm.
I'm with Julian on this. I think Monk gets really hot, and we see these 50-point games on SportsCenter like once every 3 months, and we go, oh, he's awesome. What did he have, like 47 against North Carolina? And
a bunch.
Like,
it was 47.
Those are the things that stand out. To your point, like, you don't watch every possession of every SEC game And I think Malik Monk, because he plays at Kentucky, because he was a big-time recruit, because he had these big scoring games, people think that he's a certain thing. And I sat there with Julian at the SEC tournament while he just dogged Malik Monk the entire time. And I'm like, De'Aaron Fox isn't much bigger. He needs to eat some pork chops too, but there's a certain quality.
There's a discernible difference between De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk.
There's a huge difference.
And so, I think that's the couple of things that stood out to me watching the reaction is that you've got smart basketball minds saying, all right, Malik Monk, meh. You've got the fans out there saying, oh, my God, I can't believe Malik Monk fell all the way to 11. This is going to be amazing. Everybody else is idiots. And that's, you're going to see a lot of that tonight because people are just hopping onto some sort of a hype train, because the fact is most of us have never seen – when you're talking about the NHL draft especially, most of us have no stinking idea. You're going to look for somebody much smarter than you that can write some good analysis, and you're going to try and make an opinion.
What are your
it.
Thoughts on Klim Kostin?
Exactly. Well, Klim, good
what
guy.
What about Eli Tolvanen?
I really like the way he looks in a fedora.
Eric Brandstrom.
A heck of a haberdashery.
I don't know. I'm not even sure what that word means. Isaac Ratcliffe.
I wish he'd wear his hats forward. I'm making a hat analogy with every one of them. That's my goal here.
Lias Anderson? Timothy Liljurgen?
I think we get it. No one knows who any of these guys are getting drafted.
Liljurgen is my favorite.
Look, David Poyle, I know you're listening right now. Do me one favor. Just draft somebody with a name really easy to say. Josh Norris
is the projected pick for the Predators at 30.
Josh Norris, I support. Why?
Because 6'1", 192-pound centerman.
Josh Norris from NBC, who does draft coverage?
Maybe.
You know what?
Could be one of the same. I've seen him play equally enough at the same time.
I will take Josh Norris all day simply because I can actually say Josh Norris in the update. Probably.
Robert Thomas, another – because obviously center, if they pick at 30, because we'll get into this, they could trade that pick. If they pick at 30, or if they go after a free agent, or if they make a big trade, we assume center is part of the position. Here are some of the centermen that are in that range in the draft. Shane Bowers, Robert Thomas, and Josh Norris. Those are all easy to say.
Yes.
I like all of those names.
What about – because the other spot of need, I think, for – not for the Preds today, but for the future of the Preds is probably to restock a little bit of the cupboard defenseman-wise. So are there any good, easy defenseman names in
Urho
there?
Nope.
No to him.
Nicholas Haig.
Nicholas Haig. We're good with that.
He's projected as the 23rd pick in the draft.
Okay.
Connor Timmins is the Pittsburgh Penguins selected. Again, I'm just looking at one mock draft here. At 31.
Okay, Connor Timmins is good.
Connor Timmins, that's easy to say. Not a lot of defensemen in the back half of the draft. A lot of the defensemen have moved up the boards, according to this one particular mock draft, which may or may not be accurate in any
But this is a little of what makes the NHL draft process difficult, because the fact is, even in the NBA, and as much as the NBA draft is only a small fraction of what the NFL draft is, even in the NBA, you have to look at Malik Monk and say, okay, this is an example of why the NBA draft works, because here's a team picking 11th that got somebody that was sort of celebrated on national TV a bunch. He became a brand a bunch. And you're going to get to, if you're a fan, see him contribute likely at some level this year. It may take a little time. We had a trainer on yesterday that really smartly broke down the transition for players and how difficult it is. It may take some time. The problem, the difficulty with the NHL draft is you're going to get a guy you probably know very little about, you've probably heard very little about, and you're not going to get to see him play for a bit.
I'm totally changing my opinion on Eric Brandstrom.
Okay.
5'11", 172, playing defense. We got a lot of those guys already playing defense. We don't need that size guy. That's what I like about the Fabro and Girard kids down low in Milwaukee, is that they're the 6'1", 215 guys. Like, those are the guys you want. How about this guy? Nicholas Haig, we talked about him, defenseman, 6'6", 215. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, here's the
Give
thing,
me one
though.
Of those guys.
Like, this is one of those moments where we have our cake and eat it, too. We've got some little guys who are like, man, we need some big guys. But if we drafted a little guy, I'd be like, well, you know, that's part of our system. We like little
the M.O.
Yeah, so that's what's going to be happening tonight for most people, especially on Twitter. Preds fans, just do yourself. Just turn off Twitter and instead hang out here, because I'm sure one of the few guys that can really break all that stuff down, Willie Donick, I know he's going to be a big part
of
this.
Jeremy Gover, yeah.
They're all going to be down in Chicago hanging out. Those guys will have a lot of insight.
Up in Chicago?
Sure, up in Chicago hanging out.
It's really far up there, though, compared to here.
Either way, they'll be in Chicago hanging out and be able to break all that down. So check that out tonight, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy. The question is, would you rather see a pick tonight or a trade tonight? Because tonight is the night where a lot of trades are going to go down. We'll break that down next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julie, Council Producing. Want to go to the 2017 ESPYs? You know, fly to L.A., walk the red carpet, go to the big party. How about going as the guest of this year's host, Peyton Manning? Yes, I want that. Make a donation to the V Foundation for cancer research of as little as $20, and you could win an incredible ESPYs trip and the chance to meet Peyton Manning at a rehearsal before the show. Go to ebay.com/ESPN. That's ebay.com/ESPN to donate for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstake ends Thursday, June 29th. ebay.com/ESPN.
Will Cooper be there? Because if Koopa is there, then I'll hang out with him.
That'd be fantastic.
Dude is funny.
I will give, if you win, I will give you $1 American cash, if you're listening to this right now, to walk up to Peyton and have the first thing you say be, oh my God, dude, where's Cooper? Like, if you'll start there.
Is your brother here?
$1 American cash. That's my gift.
Koopa
to you.
Is hilarious, man. That dude's entertaining.
The whole family, I've only interacted with Peyton a couple of times in life, but very, very nice. Always been funny and interesting, and going to the ESPYs.
Cut that awesome. Meat. Cut that meat.
You know, I love Peyton Manning. That's all I have to say.
I love Peyton Manning.
So the question is, draft or trade tonight? That's the real question. That's what we're trying to dissect. And by that, I mean, understand, tonight the NHL draft, 30th pick in the draft. And so if you're the Predators, we've heard David Poile say in the last week that they're going to aggressively look at adding some forwards. Does that mean a centerman? Does that mean a winger? We talked yesterday about how the fact that TJ Oshie is a winger that's on the free agent market out of Washington, and by all accounts, a 30-year-old player that is absolutely elite. So TJ Oshie on one side you could look at and say address it in free agency. But the other side of it is continual trade rumors seem to circulate. We've latched on as a fan base to Matt Duchene, the center for Colorado, and it seems from some of his tweets that he seems to really like Nashville. So we're putting all these things together.
And Colorado as an organization and a fan base itself is squarely in the camp of get rid of this guy now, not because he's a bad player, but because he's sort of the last piece of the rebuild. They got rid of a lot of pieces at the end of the year last year at the trade deadline. He's sort of the last big trading chip that they have, and there's even a thread on their SB Nation, as we mentioned yesterday. They're like, yes, please trade Matt Duchene, go ahead and get it over with so we can start the full rebuild process. So the question to me, nothing that happens tonight if the Preds draft is going to impact this team this year, meaning October, when the season starts, October 5th against Boston on the road. So nothing they can do in the draft is going to really impact this team. So to me, you're set up with so many young pieces. The question to me is, do you acquire a free agent? Do you go after TJ Oshie or Joe Thornton or Martin Hanzel, who's so hot right now?
Right.
Or you spend $4 or $5 or $6 or $7 million on a big high price free agent. Maybe you go after two lower price guys, whatever your thought process is there. Or do you trade draft pick commodities? Because the reason we're talking about this, not because you need to know the names that are going to come off the board tonight. They're not going to impact the team until 2 or 3 years anyway. But can they trade draft picks to get a player that is Poyle's going to go out in free agency or the draft to get players by trading? And What happens tonight is obviously there's a huge impact on the team. Does he acquire something in exchange for the draft picks?
I mean, and that's the real question, because do you want to see a player come off the board and get drafted, or do you want to see in this situation that draft pick get traded? And I'll say this, you know, and by the way, don't forget the Preds are hosting a fan appreciation draft party tonight, 4 to 10 p.m. at Bridgestone. You can wear gold, bring friends, Smashville, take part in a Western Conference championship celebration. They're doing all of that and have the 30th selection. While you're there, you can write cards and record thank you messages. Really cool. Public skate. You can tour the Preds locker rooms.
I would like to see you skate, by the way. Actually, I'd like to shoot pucks at you.
Well,
while you're in full goalie regalia. It's a lot of padding.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it.
It'd be good.
If you want details on that, just go to the GameNashville.com. It's under the events tab. But the question is, tonight, when you look at that with that 30th pick, Would you rather see somebody come off the board? Would you rather hear a name called for the Preds or a trade? And this is what I always say when you're picking at the end of the NFL draft. I'm going to compare the two. To me, if you have a pick between 20 and 30, 32 in the NFL draft, and you're looking at the lower portion of the round, or you can trade that pick and get somebody that is a known entity that you know you can have under contract for the next few years that you know can contribute right there, I always err on the side of do that.
Especially
if you're in a right. window where you can compete and you're talking about a bottom of the first round draft pick, get rid of it. Go get the player.
So if this organization, the Predators, were Anaheim or San Jose, meaning older teams with a lot of experience that have sort of at the end of their playoff window, then I would say draft players. I would say let's begin to sort of restock the pool and find the next answer, the succession story for all these other pieces, the guys that are there that are getting older. That's not what the Predators are. The Predators are entering their championship window with a lot of talent and a lot of young talent at a lot of key positions under long-term contracts. So to me, they do feel like they're entering that Atlanta Falcons Julio Jones window where they could be one piece away. And if that means $7 million for TJ Oshie or $5 million for Joe Thornton or Martin Hansel or going and acquiring a centerman, I'm okay with either one of those. We know he's going to go do it. So the question is does the draft really help you that much long term tonight? And the answer to me is, to your point, if you can get a starting piece by trading a pick tonight or throughout the course of the draft, then I think you get the piece. You get the player that can play right now. I just depends on how empty you have to go on the farm system, but I would totally take the player. I would totally trade the draft pick, take the player.
Well, and it becomes an interesting conversation because where do you need help the most? Again, Robbie Stanley a couple of days ago said that the spot that we're the most bare in the cupboard in the farm system is actually, for the first time in a long time, it's with defensemen. So now you have a couple of ways you can go. You can either say this team does a great job of identifying defensemen, so maybe it doesn't need to use a top talent, or if a top talent has fallen to 30 at defenseman, does it make sense to keep your cupboard stocked to sort of the ant versus the grasshopper? Does it make sense to sort of prepare for the winter, the long, cold winter that may happen 4 or 5 years from now? I'm with you, though. I can't say this loud enough. If you tell me that the Preds can win a Stanley Cup this year and it means they will stink for 2 years in 5 years, I'm good with that.
You go all in.
I'm 100% good with that. So if you tell me that the Preds make a trade, the only problem is in my mind is when you start to look at it and you look at the situation for the Preds, you have to say that part of the reason I'm so flippant in giving the pick away is it's the 30th pick, which means it doesn't have a lot of value to me. I can't be a sports guy that sits here and says, hey, this piece of trash with no value to me must have a lot of value to somebody else. Unless you're the Bulls, that doesn't actually hold true in any sport.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Knights are obviously doing a as good a job as they can to acquire as many picks as they have. I think they have 3 of the top 16 picks tonight. And so they're going to try to build that way. So there's some value maybe there. Somebody values that pick. And every mock draft I've seen has them going centerman. The defense core is so young and so locked up that and arguably 2 of the top 3 prospects in the Pred system are defensemen. So I don't think the cupboard is as bare maybe at the top. They don't have depth in the cupboard. There's not a lot of cans of soup there, but there are 2 really nice shiny cans on the defensive side of the puck. So I'm with you. I'd give it away, but you're probably going to have to give away next year's first-round pick or a prospect in it. Like, you're not going to get, and again, we're just using Matt Duchene as an example because he's a high-level player under contract, relatively young age, a piece that helps you win over a 3 or 4 year window, not a piece that helps you win this year. You go sign Joe Thornton, who is a 38-year-old potential Hall of Famer, great player. You're going to spend money on him, but he's a rental. He's a 1 year, maybe 2 years at the most type of rental. Matt Duchene's a guy you could have under contract for 10 years if he's good enough. So you're going to have to give up a lot more to get him. The question is, how deep into the prospect cupboard do you have to go to get that player? Do you have to give up a top 4 defenseman? I think most people say no to many of those questions. So I don't know who else you can go out and get. I think signing Martin Hansel is actually the route that I'm leaning towards the most. A 30-year-old centerman who's a big body physical player. I think he's a guy that for the money, and he's sort of that middle ground. You don't have to overspend like TJ Oshie, and you don't have to overtrade like Matt Duchene, and you can get him for 3 or 4 years. That's sort of where you know, Thornton, I like. He's a nice player, but I don't – a great player even. But injury concerns and age concerns and money concerns. There's a lot of questions there. So I would give up the pick, but it's like you said, it's not that easy.
Yeah, and I think that what's going to come in the other half of the trade could be a lot of equity here, because as much as the Preds want Matt Duchene, Colorado has to know that the Preds want Matt Duchene. And I don't think they're going to trade him for a bag of peanuts. So I feel like the value in return – which I've read in a few places could be a top four defenseman and a draft pick.
It's a non-starter, I think.
That's a non-starter. So the other side of it is I wouldn't be surprised if you find out that the Preds are trying to acquire other people as the draft comes on. It's part of what's going to make it exciting. The question is, in this little tiny window, you know, we've talked about, do you want Oshie, do you want Duchene? But just as a general approach, do you want a free agent added to this team, or do you want a trade made? We'll break some of that down. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet.
This is a remix of the greatest one-hit wonder of all time. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I can't get enough. I mean, it's just, I didn't know it existed, and it just makes me want to wiggle. I'm wiggling in my chair. So the discussion has been, as a general principle, and it continued through the whole commercial, as they always do. You know, it's trying to figure out.
Yeah, we should have put that on the air.
What it's worth, what you'd give up, what it would take. According to Mile High Hockey, which is a part of SB Nation for the Cavs, for the Avalanche.
You just added a letter. It's okay.
The Avs, not the Cavs. They said
not to be confused with the Abs.
Right. They
which is Montreal, of course.
Right. But they specifically say that Sakic, the GM out there, is implying that they want a young NHL proven top four defenseman that can instantly fit into the new core. So they want a top four guy.
Predators have plenty of those.
Yeah. Well, the question is, do you part with one of them? And it's been an interesting question, because there's two ways you can go about it. And history shows us that free agency isn't going to be the approach for David Poile. That's not what he typically does. But he does typically do one-for-one mega trades. I mean, if you need scoring and you really look at it and say, man, we need a second center, I don't know that I would be shocked at this point by a one-for-one star trade.
Really? If here's the question, really, is which one of the defensemen is the one you trade? I don't – they all sort of mesh together so perfectly and what they do on the ice. Yossi's so great at pushing the tempo and just the complete player. You know, Ellis is sort of that gritty leader, great point guy on the power play, great on the blue line. P.K. Subban sort of does everything, but he's a great – he starts the breakout so well, and then Ekholm sort of is – the unassuming one, because he's just so good at playing in his own zone. They all sort of do something a little different, and they all sort of mesh so perfectly. We were during the break going like, well, which one would you trade? Like, if you had to trade one, and you're like, gun to your head, you've got to get rid of one of them right now, what do you do? And you're kind of going, I don't know which one I would trade, which means – I think this is an easy discussion. It's a non-starter if one of those four guys is involved in a trade.
Right.
You gave up Seth Jones. You gave up Shea Weber. You don't have another one to give up. You've got your four guys. They're all under the age of 27. They're all under contract. Once you sign Ryan Ellis to a long-term deal, you've got all four guys for an extended period of time. Yossi, he's got 3 more years on his deal, 5 more years for Matias Ekholm and P.K. Subban. Unless you are getting, and we talked about this during the break, like, what would you trade P.K. Subban for? Like, just as a joke. And it's like, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, unless you get one of these freak of nature generational players, I don't think it's a – I don't think these four players are on the blocks. I think those four players are sort of off the books and not available for trade. Certainly not for Matt Duchene. If you told me Austin Matthews is in the conversation, I'd give you P.K. Subban for Austin Matthews right now, no question asked.
I think part of that comes from how this team generates offense, because – one of the things we saw in the inconsistencies early in the year was guys learning to play together, especially the defensemen, especially the defense core. So when I look at why I think this team can start off better next year than it did last year, a lot of that comes back to me to the fact that these defensemen have experience together. And you think about the amount of time it took PK to sort of adjust to the system. The great debate is when you need scoring, and the best asset you can give up to get scoring is one of the guys that helps you prevent scoring,
right?
You know, which side of the coin do you take? It makes it very difficult.
I want to be very, very clear. If as a general hockey philosophy, if I'm going into the playoffs and I can say to every other team in the playoffs, I've got a better set of four blue liners than you do, I want to start my playoff conversation like that every single year.
Right.
I would rather start it that way than start it with the only other way you start it is if you've got that transcendent Gretzky style guy, right? Like if you've got Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews or Sidney Crosby or Jonathan Taylor, like if you've got a transcendent sort of once in a generational guy that's going to take you to multiple cups guy, right? Like if you've got one of those players, that's the only other way I would want to start my playoff run than with the four. If I can start every series with the Predators have the best defense core in this series. They've got the best defense core in the Western Conference. They've got the best defense core in the NHL. I'm taking that conversation over anything else you could acquire, with the exception of those elite level like automatic Hall of Famers, like
right.
the McDavids and the I just use McDavid and Matthews, who are never going to be traded. So let's be very clear,
right.
Those guys aren't available. Goaltending obviously is a huge conversation in this too. You can find offense. You can go out and try to find offense. Finding that lockdown set of defensemen is much harder to do. That's why people are always looking to acquire defensemen, because it's just hard to find. And I would not want to give up or break up that group for anything. I think you can find, whether it's Kamenev coming up from Milwaukee or signing somebody in free agency who maybe is a lower tier free agent, or Joe Thornton for 5 minutes. Like, I would rather go that route and acquire some forwards in another way than to give up a top four defenseman. I want to start the playoff conversation every year for the next 5 years with Subban, Ekholm, Josi, and Ellis. And if you've got those four, I feel really good about their chances going into almost any series that they play.
You're listening to Braden and Fitz. We're breaking down everything you need to know about tonight's NHL expansive draft and what the Preds could and should do to make the roster better next year. John on Twitter points out, don't forget Poile just signed two Swedish free agents, centers, so draft isn't as critical. To that, I would say this, though, John. That's a great point about the future of the organization. I'm not sure that helps us October 5th, and that's the other side of the equation. So we talked a lot about it yesterday. Some of these young guys, by the end of the year, could be contributing at a level. Like we saw the growth of Kevin Fiala is a great example. We've seen the growth year one to year two for RV in general, and by the end of the year, some young guys became guys you could really lean on and rely on. However, at the beginning of the year, I don't think these new acquisitions, all indications from you know, the people we talk to, these guys aren't necessarily day one shoe-ins to make the team better. It doesn't mean that they won't, and it doesn't mean they can't over the course of the season. But if your conversation tonight is how does the team get better day one of this season, and how do we really feel like we have the best shot of knowing that the team is better next year than it was this year, I'm not sure you can rely on unknown free agents brought in that we have a very little body of work on.
No, and I think that young or old, I think that's the case. I do think that you could be – there's some safe ways to do this. You know, I think going and signing Martin Hanzel, for example, a guy who was at Arizona last year, was traded to Minnesota, didn't play particularly great for Minnesota in the postseason, but nobody that plays for Bruce Boudreau is particularly good in the postseason. I think he's a player, a big-body centerman that is going to be cheaper – than acquiring Matt Duchene. I'm starting to round into form. Like, I was always on the trade side of this. Like, let's give up draft picks and maybe a defenseman to get in the minors to get a starting centerman like a Duchene, because he's under contract for a long period of time. Or you could just go sign Martin Hanzel for $5 million a year for 3 years, and you've got your number two centerman for the next 3 years. If he fits, you know? I mean,
right.
Mike Fisher is still a part of this conversation. We don't know where he falls into all of this. So I don't – people expect there to be a lot of movement tonight because of it's the draft. I'm not sure that Poile is overly zealous right now to make a trade. It doesn't feel like that big move is going to happen. July 1's free agency, it feels like there could be movement more so later in the summer. That's the way it feels.
Well, and a tweet that we got, that we've seen several tweets like this over the last 24 hours – offer Erwin Fabro first and second this year for Duchene. So that's not a new conversation that we've seen several people, especially Fabro's name, gets thrown out everywhere in this process. And I would say this, with trades, I always say play the shoes on the other foot game. If you were actually asking for that same exact deal the opposite way, if you were getting a player of the caliber of Erwin and Fabro in first and second year of players in exchange for your best center, because that's what Duchene is to Colorado. So would you take that trade for Ryan Johansson? And if the answer is no, then you probably haven't given up enough. Would you take that trade for one of your top four defensemen? If the answer is no,
right,
you probably haven't given up enough.
Now,
and that's what I think gets lost in this.
That's probably true, and that probably is what keeps this from being a deal. Like, if You know, if you're starting to talk about names like Kevin Fiala being involved, then no, I don't want to see a trade. I mean, we're talking about draft picks and prospects. If you can keep it to draft picks and prospects, then sure. But that's the conversation we're having. That's probably why the Duchesne trade doesn't happen, in my opinion, at least not right now. That could happen later on in the summertime. I don't know what bringing in a winger does in free agency, though. Like that's my issue with Oshie. I think he's a great player. I don't know what signing another winger does. Like, there's a center problem. Like, you've got to address the centerman position, right, not the winger position. So I think that's my issue in free agency is there's a lot of wingers available. There's not a lot of centers available, so you're probably going to pay a premium either way, trade or free agency.
Some big names going to join us throughout the show, obviously. Scott Burnside, Dan Rosen, two big national guys. Scott at 8:30, Dan at 9:30. We'll keep getting their takes on all of this. We have some big Marcus Mariota conversations to get into next hour. We will do that next hour, but first up, before we get there, what happens tonight will absolutely tip the hand of what David Poyle will have to do on July 1st. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.